One of my goals during Lent, especially this year, for some reason, is to get away from the conventional idea that Lent is such a dreary, depressing, dark, awful time. Because it really isn't intended to be that at all. We're getting ready for the greatest celebration in the church year. And Lent is a time to get ready for that. And as I said last week and on Ash Wednesday, Lent is a time for us to be recognizing our own sinfulness and the injustice in our world and all the things that need to be corrected. But that doesn't have to be depressing. It might be kind of exciting. Here's all the things that are going to be corrected and made better and made whole. This is one reason I have never encouraged anyone to give up something for Lent, because I think there's anything wrong with that, but it can turn Lent then into this thing, this time you just have to endure and get through. You know, if I can just get to Easter, I can drink coffee again or whatever it is you've given up. But Lent is really, since it's a getting ready for Easter, and sure, we have to go through the cross and Good Friday to get there, but Lent is really about love. I mean, that's what this season is really about, the reason that we journey to the cross and that Christ journeyed to the cross. And that was because of God's love. Both of our readings this morning talk about love. Psalm 121, as I said, is one of my favorites. It's so beautiful. It begins with that title, a song of ascents, of going up. It's thought that this psalm was, and remember, these psalms are all songs. They were meant to be sung. It's thought this psalm was sung on pilgrimage, on the journey probably to Jerusalem. You go up to Jerusalem. It's on a hill. And so this psalm is a reminder to those journeying to Jerusalem. Interestingly, the same journey Jesus is making during this season. It's a reminder to them that God is with them. Where does our help come from on this journey? Our help comes from the Lord. The Lord is watching over us. The Lord is our keeper. Did you notice all the times in this psalm that the word keep is used? The Lord will keep you. The Lord keeps you. It's not just watching over. It's protection. It's providing for. The Lord will keep you. Your going and your coming, your journeys. The Lord is with you, watching over you, your helper, your keeper, your protector. And I particularly love, or was particularly jumping out at me this week, the line about the Lord never sleeps. The one who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. In other words, God never takes a day off, at least not since that seventh day of creation. God has not taken a day off. God is always vigilant, watching, keeping us. Now, that's one reason that we can take a day off once in a while. There's a Sabbath message in this psalm that you may have missed. Because the Lord never sleeps or slumbers, we can. We can rest. We can sleep. We can take a day off once in a while. And the world won't fall apart without us. I know that's a tough message in the modern world to hear, but if you take a day off, the world will not fall apart. If you go on vacation and leave your laptop at home and turn your cell phone off, the world will not fall apart. I promise you. A few things might fall apart, but the world will not fall apart. Because God is watching. God does not slumber or sleep. Our keeper, our helper, our protector is always on duty. so we can take a breath once in a while and relax and sleep and be at peace. I was also reminded as I was pondering, particularly those lines about God not sleeping, I was remembering when I was a kid, particularly when we would go on a car trip or something during the day or on vacation and often coming back later in the evening. And I remember falling asleep in the car. Do you ever fall asleep in the car and your father or mother is driving and it's you're secure, you're safe. You're in the car, but you can sleep because someone else is driving. You know, and you might wake up as you're being carried into the house or tucked into bed. That's security. Someone else is driving and doing the work and watching over you. Or do you remember falling asleep as a child? I remember falling asleep and hearing just vaguely my parents' voices in the kitchen washing dishes or something. And again, I could sleep. I didn't have to worry about anything. Oh, my parents were up, you know. I'm not sure I knew then that they went to sleep. I thought they just stayed up all night. But, you know, you're safe. You fall asleep securely. Maybe that's why I have trouble sleeping now, because I know my cat Fred will not watch out for me the same way. I don't know. But there's a security there. The security of a child with a loving parent or parents keeping watch. So it is with us and God. God, our heavenly Father, Heavenly Mother, watching, keeping, protecting, loving us. Maybe that's why in John 3:16 it says, God so loved the world, that He gave His only Son. Maybe that's why Jesus keeps saying to Nicodemus, you must be born again. Now that phrase has caused lots of controversy ever since Jesus said it. What exactly does that mean? And there are those, particularly in the evangelical tradition, who would say it's one moment and everything changes. You know, those are the people who can say, I was born again on July 12th, 1954 at 10:33 a.m. And that's fine. But maybe what Jesus means when He says you must be born again is not something quite so sudden. Maybe Jesus is saying you must become like a child. Jesus does say that elsewhere. Let the little children come to me, for it's such as them who enter the kingdom of heaven. You must become like a child. To be born again means we become like children again, infants who rely entirely on their parents, on their God. You must be born again, Nicodemus. You must become like a child. You must rest in that security, knowing that God is in charge, knowing that God loves you. That's the whole reason Jesus came. Back to John 3:16, many people focus on the second part of that verse, that those who believe in Him shall not perish or have eternal life. And then, as humans do, we've turned that into, you must believe. And there are those who believe and those who don't. Let's try and figure out who's in and who's out. And we miss the whole beginning of that verse. The whole reason wasn't to make us afraid and judgmental and divide ourselves into believers and non-believers, but God, what so loved the world that He sent His Son, that everyone who believes in Him shall not perish. God so loved the world. Again, the whole reason for Lent, we're heading to the cross, to the empty tomb. God's love is the reason for all of that. That's the reminder of Lent that we have to begin to get our head around. God's love for us, for you, and for me. Not that we are always lovable, but we are always loved. As we journey to the cross, we don't make this journey so that we can feel bad and depressed and beaten down. We take this journey so we can rejoice. knowing the heavenly parent who always watches over us and keeps us. Knowing that we are loved, so loved, so very loved. That's the message of Lent. Amen.